Why is everything still so messed up? That's the question I've been asking in prayer this past week. Easter, we know, is the celebration of Jesus' victory over sin, death, and Satan. And it was an all-encompassing victory, Jesus leaving no doubt. My favorite image of an icon of Jesus rising from the tomb, with just in all his glory, six-pack included, there he is, rising from the tomb, complete victory. Satan has been defeated. Scripture speaks of this. One of the passages, again, I've been praying with is Colossians chapter 2, verses 13, 14, especially 15. It talks about the devil, through Jesus' resurrection, the devil being disarmed. It says, uses language of being triumphed over, of being made a public mockery. And the victory is so great, that's why we celebrate it for 50 days. But even though the victory is won, Jesus has risen from the tomb, why is everything still so messed up? Why is there still pain? Why is there still heartache? Why is there suffering? Why is COVID? Why is everything not all rosy if sin has been defeated, if death has been defeated, if Satan's been defeated? Why are things still so messed up? In our second reading, Peter's writing to the Christian community. He's writing to baptized believers, those that have been incorporated in Jesus' death and resurrection. Death has been defeated for them. Their sin, no longer power over them. But yet, Peter is writing to this community here, and he's writing to this community who's suffering. The very beginning of this passage we heard, he's just encouraging them. Persevere in your suffering. Because the battle continues. Even though the victory has been won with Jesus' resurrection, the battle continues. So if you imagine, at least this is how my mind works, imagine it's Jesus' resurrection is as if Jesus punched Satan right in the gut. And there's Satan, he's on the floor, he's defeated, he's powerless. There's no chance he can get up. He's on the floor, completely defeated, game's over. And yet as he's on the floor, he can still squirm. He kicks. As he's on the floor, he can still swat as he's on the floor. He can still hiss and nag us and whisper. And if we get too close, he can pull us down with him. He can pull us down to experience the defeat that he has. So although he's deemed completely powerless because of Jesus' death and resurrection, he still squirms and he can still kill. Scripture speaks elsewhere. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking to devour, looking just to cause havoc. And so here today, the gospel, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, and he contrasts himself with thieves and robbers that try to get his sheep. And so this section we just heard, that Father Don proclaimed, Jesus is giving the image of a sheepfold. You're like, what's a sheepfold? Well, Jesus is describing this little stone enclosure where the shepherd would keep the sheep at night. And the sheep would stay there. There'd be a little opening. And oftentimes the shepherd would lay there so as to keep the sheep from coming out. But the sheep would be in this sheepfold so that the thieves and robbers couldn't have easy access to them. And Jesus is clear in the gospel, in verse 10, that a thief comes to steal, to slaughter, and to destroy. In other words, the battle's still on. Like, Satan's the thief who wants to rob. St. Ignatius picks up on this image. St. Ignatius, a Jesuit missionary priest, he describes the devil as a thief attempting to rob and get into a city. And cities were built back in the day of with a wall around the city, a stronghold. And before someone would try to conquer the city, they would camp out outside the wall, keeping the inhabitants of the city out of view. They couldn't see them, and they would camp out, and they would ride along the city gates, the city wall, and they would slowly and carefully circle the entire stronghold of the city, noticing where the weak spots in the wall are. And after the circuit around the wall is complete, they've identified the weakest spot of that stronghold. And when they identify the weakest spot of the stronghold, they say, that's where we're going to go. That's where we're going to get in. That's their weak spot. That's where they're vulnerable. That's where they're susceptible of the enemy getting in. And then they attack. And Ignatius says, that's exactly how the evil one operates. Satan just watches us. He watches to see where the weak spot in the wall is. And as soon as he identifies the weak spot in us, that's where he attacks. That's where he gets in and he causes havoc interiorly. And we all have weak spots in our walls. And I think as this lockdown continues and the time, our days can look different, I think what can manifest is just with the different times, what's manifesting can be weak spots in our walls. Things in this time can rise up to the surface. So we're spending more time at home, more time with family, more time with kids, more time with spouse, more time with ourselves. And so as we're spending an unusual amount of time in just different things, more time in relationships, doing different things, things look different now, things can come to the surface. Different things are manifesting. Weak spots can be manifesting in our city wall. You know, I read a study or an article 2 weeks ago that mentioned the time of online streaming on Netflix, Amazon Prime, YouTube. They've just skyrocketed in the month of March and April. Lockdown, people are using their time different just with the live streaming on Netflix, Amazon, YouTube, and YouTube. And so as time is being used differently, tendencies can come up. Like, okay, maybe I'm going towards these things I find when I'm alone. And it's hours and hours and hours now. Not immoral of doing that, scrolling through feeds, but just feeling like garbage afterwards. And because maybe it's an increased amount that I'm doing it, it's coming to the surface, it's manifesting that, I'm noticing this now. Or just noticing what my tendencies are when I feel alone. Like how am I discovering that now? Maybe when I'm angry, more time with family. Like, man, I really don't express my anger well, and I'm beginning to notice that more right now. It's coming to the surface. When I feel rejected by someone, when I feel alone, I see that I tend to do this, and I see that it's a weak spot in the wall. And always what's behind the weak spot is something that's crying out for attention. There's a spot of hurt. That's why the weak spot's there, ultimately. And it needs attention. Because that's the spot that the evil one has identified, and he keeps getting in over and over and over again to steal, to slaughter, and to destroy. And the temptation is for us to look at that, to like, as these things are manifesting and I'm noticing them and it's coming to the surface in these last couple of weeks or months, the temptation to say, it's just that weak spot in my wall is just too much, or it's that weak spot's been there for too long, it's too big, the evil one's just gotten in there over and over and over again. He's had free reign into my city, and he's been causing havoc through this spot for too long. And so then maybe we veer away from giving it attention. But here today, Jesus is inviting us to be his sheep, to hear his voice, to hear the shepherd's voice. And he says, as it's true that the thief comes to steal, to slaughter, and destroy, the next part of that verse is, but I come. I've come to give life. I come to give life, abundant life. It's just like, oh, let us hear Jesus say to us today, I don't care how big the break in the wall is. I don't care how long the break of the wall's been there. I don't care how many times the evil one's gotten in on that spot. It doesn't matter, because I'm the good shepherd. I know you, and I love you, and I know about the weak spot, and I just want to go there. And so the thief does come, and if we shouldn't be surprised when the thief comes, because Jesus tells us the thief comes. But he says, I come. He comes with his rod and staff in hand to guard and protect that spot, to guard and protect us. But he doesn't just come to guard and protect. He comes also to heal. In our second reading, Peter says, by his wounds you have been healed. For you have gone astray like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Do we see him this morning as our shepherd? Do we see him as the guardian of our souls? One who he says he lays down, he's laid down his life for us, and he'll lay it down again and again and again. I just want us to have some time here to invite Jesus in, to ask him to be our shepherd, to ask him to come and just to show him our weak spot in our wall, and ask him to lay there, to be there. Jesus is the good shepherd. The thief and the robbers are there, and they plan their attack to get in. Let us be the sheep to hear his voice and to know that he looks on us tenderly to protect and to guard and to heal.